Hello and welcome to Love My Poland. You know, it hit me recently that if you are going to make a channel like Love My Poland Complete, you've got to eventually cover some of the juicy, sensational stories that you'll eventually hear over the years here. But what's even more important is that Polish people are going to expect you to, or at least hope that you'll know many of the big events that have taken place in the past. There is truly nothing worse than seeing an enthusiastic face of a friend or a student asking me, "Russell, have you heard about this story or event in Polish history?" And the only thing that I'm able to respond with is, sorry, no, I don't know what you're talking about." And having to watch that excited face, that enthusiastic face, slowly and awkwardly transform into a disappointed frown. That's why today I'm going to start another new series of episodes entitled, ready? Once Upon a Time in Poland. I'm going to share stories with you that I've heard since moving here and that I find really interesting, and I am convinced that you'll love them too. So let's get started. Did you know that in the spring of 1967, smack dab in the middle of the communist era of Poland, the Rolling Stones from London, England played Warsaw? The band came up with the idea to travel behind the Iron Curtain with a goal of being the most controversial rock band to ever play in the region. They actually initially targeted Moscow, Russia, the heart, but after authorities there refused to let the very risky and radical idea go forward, the Stones, unmoved, sought out a different area. They were motivated by the desire to break the mighty divide between West and East, to bring their music to the underground fans that they were convinced existed here. So with Moscow out of the equation, the Rolling Stones received an invite to Warsaw through the direction of a man named Władysław Jakubowski. Jakubowski came from an agency called Pagard. The Pagard agency was a huge deal in Poland that oversaw really everything with artists coming in and out of the country at the time, and it was instrumental in paving the way for the Rolling Stones concert to happen on April 13th, 1967 in the city center of Warsaw, where the Stones were promoting their Between the Buttons album. They arrived a day before the concert and stayed at the beautiful Hotel Europejski. Now, before I go another step forward in my story, I have to stress that there are so many myths and false reports and legends connected to the events, so it's a little risky. I've decided that I'm going to stick to all the points in the story that I've heard repeatedly over the years from friends, from students, from reading, and to stay as genuine as I can to the events. To truly get a good feel of this story, I would like you to imagine what Warsaw, Poland must have looked like then and contrast it with how modern and developed it looks now. Bill Wyman, the bass guitarist for the Rolling Stones, after landing in Warsaw, described the city as dark and gloomy, overwhelmingly depressing, and he sensed everywhere he went he was being constantly watched by secret police. And he probably felt that way for good reason. The reputation the Stones brought with them back in 67 was a reputation of the rebellious culture, you know, with wrecked hotel rooms, lots of drug use, hardcore partying, and their fans clashing with police. So it was a highly risky move for Poland to make at that time. Anyways, you knew that already. Let's get to this concert. I've got to begin with the fact that acquiring concert tickets was no easy task. As you might imagine, the news of the Rolling Stones coming to Poland inundated the country. But by all accounts, only modest advertising was put up around Warsaw beforehand. When news hit, people couldn't believe it, and many claimed it had to be some kind of elaborate April Fool's prank. It was too good to be true. But for the lucky folks that got their hands on tickets, the price of entry that was paid was equivalent to half the average monthly salary. Wow. What's also interesting is that most of the tickets were never even formally released the way we would buy tickets today to the public. Instead, these tickets were distributed, free of charge of course, to communist leaders and their families. The final turnout though of fans was approximately 5,000 people filling the Congress Hall called Sala Kongresowa in downtown Warsaw. It's truly amazing that they chose this location, as the Congress Hall up to that point was mainly used for holding Communist Party functions. The audience numbered roughly 5,000 people who consisted of communist dignitaries, security agents, journalists, musicians, and of course, general fans. 5,000 people was more than double the number the venue could even seat, so it must have been really quite the squeeze. And listen to this, before the concert actually took place, it's been said that the Rolling Stones damaged their own instruments. It is believed that the band mistakenly thought Poland used an American 110-volt system instead of the 220-volt system like you'll find throughout Europe. And they accidentally totally fried their equipment. Mick Jagger kept calm, though, and came up with a plan to personally ask another band that was playing at the time, called Czerwonoczarni, to borrow their instruments. And they were able to finish out the concert. So the Rolling Stones played two concerts, one at 5 p.m. and the other one at 8:30 p.m. And in both concert appearances, they played their big hits like Painted Black, Lady Jane, and Satisfaction. According to what I've heard and read, the front row seats were occupied by lifeless members of the Communist Party who didn't appear to be overly impressed or excited by the band's performance and style. The true fans were seated far in the back and they were screaming at the top of their lungs. Keith Richards saw this, he was disgusted, and he finally shouted out into the audience for the folks in the back to switch places with the stiffs in the front. Of course, I think he used totally different language. Whether that actually happened, whether that made a difference, I have tried to find that information and I can't. Anyway, Mick Jagger also was irritated by it, and according to reports, made obscene gestures toward the special members of security and those sitting close to the stage. The band's behavior was completely unheard of at the time, and it gave people a small taste of modern Western reality. Meanwhile, outside, people were going nuts as more fans tried to get in and couldn't. It's also been said that tickets were sold by illegal scalpers, leading to even more negative commotion. Car windows were broken out, street lamps were damaged, and things began to go wildly out of control. It required the police, who back then were called milizia, to show up with dogs, water cannons, and they had to use tear gas to kind of disperse the protesters. Reportedly, the Stones caught wind of what was happening outside. They felt terrible about it, and legend has it that they got in a car and they took boxes and boxes of their albums. And when they would see youth on the corner or on the side of the road, they would just throw those albums out at the youth of Warsaw. Pretty nice gesture. Finally, you may be wondering how the Stones got paid. How were they compensated for their concert performances? That's a great question. Well, the band did receive royalties in American dollars and Polish zlotys. The trouble was that the Polish money was absolutely not interchangeable. It was literally impossible to do so. So the story is, the band traded their suitcase of Polish cash for a wagon load of Polish vodka. The saddest part is they never got to take the vodka out of the country, as the customs duty that would have to be paid on the alcohol in Britain was much higher than the vodka was even worth. So they ended up abandoning the vodka. The vodka stayed in Poland. And a lot of people say that the Rolling Stones went back to the UK with nothing. They were totally empty-handed. Regardless of the truth, though, one thing is certain. The Rolling Stones departed Poland with a sense of accomplishment. They felt like they did something positive, and it's true, they left an indelible impression on the hearts and minds of the Polish nation. The band has returned to play several times since, and their concerts have always been packed out. I'd like to thank you for listening and watching today, and I am so interested in your remarks on the Rolling Stones story. I'm sure that some of you out there are going to say, Russell, what are you talking about? Who told you that? Where did you hear that? That's not true. Put it in the comment section. Let's light up the comment section. Maybe somehow we'll come up with the truth. Anyway, I hope you like the new direction. If you do, give me some ideas. I have a lot of ideas of my own, of stories that we can share with the globe, with the world. Thank you so much for watching. If you would like to become a subscriber, hit the subscribe button on my Polish eagle right here on my t-shirt so you don't miss out on future episodes. See you in the next one.